All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to your Tuesday, July 22nd edition of the show. I'm joined by my co-host and friend, John Martin. He's here. Brad Carson, executive producer on the ones and twos. Also, program director, number one in the country. That's Gordon Barrett Sports. Number one as well in your hearts. We are all here and accounted for. We've got plenty to talk about. There was more yesterday. Just in terms of things that'll just take the wind right out of your sails. That news yesterday, and it broke as we were on that show. We got a chance to react. John broke it for you right here. In terms of those reports, yesterday first from Ross Dellinger about Memphis' attempts to get into the Big 12, getting pushed away. We talked about it in our initial responses, but you know, then you read a little bit more and how desperate the situation was. And it does. It leaves you in a place where it's like, you ever going to get out of this, right? You ever going to make it to the promised land? And then, even more, John, in terms of this city's future and whether or not it's going to be a good one, we get the news from Sam Hardiman of the Daily Memphian that the lease, the timeline for the Grizzlies, the end of summer hopes that you had to get a lease done, doesn't look like it's going to be then. Now, I don't know if it necessarily fits in the doomsday category, but it would certainly leave you concerned. In the city's sports future, John, I ask you, what does it hold?
Well, there is one thing. There is one man. You know how in Gotham, like when like the city goes to hell, you know, and Joker's out there and, you know, Bane's out there and everybody's out there going crazy, you know, yeah, and wreaking havoc on the citizens, going ham on the citizens. Yes. What do they do? The Gotham Police Department puts the bat signal out, right? We need your help, brother. Ryan Silverfield is the 16th best college football coach in America, according to ESPN.
A round of applause, bro. If you can believe
that, I did not make that up.
Because I don't think you were going to get one. Because I think our producer might have thought, and boss might have thought you were joking.
I thought you were punking me.
No, Ashton Kutcher. It's real, according to ESPN. Now, there's some context, and we'll get to it in just a minute. But you ask for good news, I give you good news, that Memphis football has the 16th best coach in the country, according to ESPN. So, hey, that's something. We'll get to it. Big show today. Yeah.
We are loaded.
I got a text from a Baylor media guy last night, David Smoke. He does, like, you know, Baylor – he does, like, these video shows, you know, pretty popular, I think, down there in Waco. And he reached out to me and he says, hey, John, will you come on our show tomorrow to talk about Memphis and the Big 12? And I told the guy, no, I will not. Because I'm not going to be the guy on there whining about Memphis not getting the Big 12 again, and trying to defend Memphis again. I just told him, you know, Memphis has done everything that you guys asked them to do, and you kept moving the goalposts. You know, that's there's nothing more for me to say about it. But it was just a sad day yesterday, man. And then you get all the news coming out about no vote was even taken. Like it was such an uncompelling move. The most lucrative offer like this ever, and it couldn't even move the Big 12 presidents to a vote. I mean, the embarrassment really never stopped yesterday. And then I heard that Memphis believed it would have the votes. Not only that there would be a vote, but that they would have the votes, that they would get in. And so it was just a snowball avalanche of humiliation, really. Again, appreciate the effort, obviously, but, you know, to not get the result after an offer like that is just it's pretty awful. Anyway, we'll get into all of that today on the show. Jessica Benson is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to her about the Big 12 effort and just, you know, your guide to moving forward, all that, and more. Summer League wrapped up. So lots to get to with Jessica Benson at 11:25. At 12:25, this is maybe the most interesting in-studio guest we've ever had because I don't know his last name. I don't know this guy's identity.
And you're not going to know it.
And I'm not going to know.
And our listeners won't know either. His name is Cam. In November 2021, he was the winner of a Mr. Beast contest Mr. Beast, a content creator we've talked about here on the show, been kind of fascinated by.
Yeah.
How he's become a millionaire philanthropist basically off YouTubing.
Yep.
Sets up contests, everything else. Kind of controversial. He's been criticized sometimes. He gives away a lot of money. This young man, Cam, at 19 years old, won a contest for $500,000 playing the first Squid Games. Remember when Squid Games was first hot on in the movies?
Yes.
Mr. Beast put together basically a game based on the movie that had just come out.
Yeah.
And the young man named Cam that won, when my son and I were watching in 2021 when this thing came out, it has almost 1 billion views.
Wow.
Almost 1 billion views. Listen to me, on YouTube. Cam is from Memphis. The guy that won the contest,
wow,
we didn't know at the time, was from Memphis. And he has gone out of his way, obviously after winning, you know, a significant amount of money,
right,
to keep a low profile. And to my knowledge, has done very few, if any, interviews about winning this money, what he's done with it, how he got on the dang show. There was, you know, 456 participants. He comes down, he's contestant 79.
Wow.
He ends up winning it. And I got to, you know, I got to thank our listeners, one of them specifically, and I will, for helping hook this up, because he knew Cam. He's a listener on our show, likes us, has heard us talking about Mr. Beast. I think maybe even that game.
Okay.
So, you know, this guy's from Memphis. Always a Memphis tie is the theme. Something John and I have long held on to with our show, even before our show. There is a Memphis tie in every story, and there's a Memphis tie in that 2021 YouTube video that's garnered almost 1 billion hits. A Memphis dude named Cam won Squid Games.
Yeah, that's crazy. How about that? He's going to talk.
He's going to be here in studio. So we're going to get to lay eyes. This dude's real. We're going to actually get to lay eyes on him and, you know, all that stuff. Ask him what he's done, how his life has changed. Do people still recognize him? Is he still laying low? I mean, this is going to be his first interview.
Our job shadower knows him.
Okay.
There you go.
We have a job shadower.
Mm-hmm.
And who's our job shadower?
Evan Hayes in studio today.
Evan, what's up,
what's up,
man?
Brother?
Yeah.
Good to have you, man.
How y'all doing? I appreciate y'all having me.
Hey, apparently he's not doing a good enough job of hiding his identity, because it's getting out. I mean, a lot of people, it seems like, know him. And they
How'd you know him, Evan?
I actually worked with him. I worked with him at Journeys in Wolf Chase Mall. He was actually my manager there, so I was knowing him for a few years. He's a cool guy, so I hope y'all enjoy him having me on the show.
How about that? Well, now his profession and job is out there.
I think he should just go ahead and put his last name. Mm-hmm. I think he should just reveal.
Exactly. So appreciate having you, bro. Pleasure to have you. Got a job follower.
Yes.
As well. And you've been on the GP show, have you not?
Yes, sir. I was on GP show last Tuesday. So that was, GP's a great guy, and I appreciate y'all having me.
So I said, we got a celebrity in the house.
I wouldn't
here.
Say that, but yeah. You know, try to do my thing, you know.
Good to have you, brother.
Yeah, yes, we all look up to GP, obviously.
You were just talking about that last week, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I think in many ways he's, you know, the reason for the season in Memphis sports media. We miss him and love him every day over here at 92.9. But we still admire from afar.
Well, we still talk to him. I talked to him yesterday.
Occasionally, you know, there will be a random spot that airs and it's him. And I shed a one gangsta wistful tear. You know, we move on, right? We move on. We love you, GP, and we thank you every day. All right, so we're going to be joined by Cameron at 12:25,
mm-hmm.
And looking forward to that. That's an interesting one. I always like doing these sort of this is very non-sport, so I enjoy that.
Yeah.
And it's culture, you know what I mean? Mr. Yeah. Beast is culture. And I think that video probably had more views than the actual show, would be my guess. I mean, if you're talking about 1 billion views, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it should be a good time. And then at 1:25, as you guys know, the godfather of Memphis football, I like to call him. Because before him there was none. Coach Fu, Justin Fuente is gonna join us. And there's a little bit of news there because you know, we talk about him as a coach, as a potential coach for somebody at some point. Well, not to say he can't ever do that again, but he does have a new job. He is the TCU radio analyst for their football team starting next season. So he's getting into the, you know, he did like some bowl games for Memphis. We had him on maybe before the Utah State one. I can't remember if it was like Westwood or somebody he was working with. But obviously he's gotten into the radio side of things. And so he's going to join us at 1:25, and we'll definitely get his thoughts on Memphis and the Big 12, Memphis and its future, the football program, his, you know, gig, getting into it. Is he going to coach again? There's a lot to touch on with Justin Fuente. So we'll do that at 1:25. So, I mean, we're giving you packed shows in July. We're giving you three guest shows in July. I don't know what else you want from us, but we are going to start today with a little thing that we call Cap or No Cap. All right, Jason, Ryan Silverfield is the 16th best college football coach in the United States of America. Is that cap or no cap?
No cap, according to at least one metric, right?
Yes. ESPN, Bill Connolly. Now, there is context here, and it's always important to attribute context where we can. But basically, it was like a metric of, you know, SP plus rating every year, expectations. Right, like what were you expected to do that given season, and how did you perform? And so it was, you know, the 30 active coaches against expectations. And in that regard, Ryan Silverfield was ranked 16th in America. Again, according to this you know, this metric, ahead of guys like Hugh Freeze, ahead of guys like Matt Campbell, ahead of guys like Mark Stoops, Willie Fritz at Houston, Lincoln Riley at USC, Steve Sarkisian at Texas. Now, I do think, like, Steve Sarkisian's expectations every single year at Texas are to be number one. Like, so if he doesn't finish number one, that's technically a disappointment at Texas. So I do think, like, some of these I kind of throw out, but I did not expect to see Ryan Silverfield at 16th. I will tell you that.
Yeah. I don't need to mince words here. I don't think he's the 16th best football coach in the country. In fact, if those guys you typically reserve for folks that have won conference titles, Ryan has not. That said, I'm not going to dismiss 21 wins over the last 2 years, and I would think that's a lot of that SP plus ranking, those metrics. It's the 21 wins. We've talked about the significance of the 21 and the context, to use your word, that's necessary to, when you break that down, what's in there that's big? None of it includes a conference title. In fact, none of it includes a finish in the AAC better than third place. And so I have a hard time calling Ryan Silverfield basically a top 15 coach in the country when we're just basing it on regular season wins, and in none of that, again, is a conference championship. And so, you know, this is sort of a case of you can make statistics, say whatever you want to. We were taught that in high school in our stats class over White Station. That's what I would point to with this. There's always a story behind the numbers, and clearly, if Ryan Silverfield was a top 15, top 16 coach in the country, you would think there would be schools that have made serious offers to get Ryan Silverfield out there, like they've done for our 125 guest, like they did for Mike Norvell. That has not happened to this point. Why is that? Why doesn't Memphis get the benefit of the doubt like Tulane when it comes to, hey, they're going to finish first or second in the conference, doesn't matter who their quarterback is or anything else? Because they haven't met that standard yet. The standard. John and I have talked about that bar needing to be raised. We're hoping Ed Scott's got it there. But come on. In what conversation that we've ever had do you have Ryan Silverfield that high? Unless, again, you're just counting regular season wins. You want to do that? Yeah, you can put him high on the list.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think it's obviously a huge feather in the cap for him that he could say that. You know, and I got to admit, like, when I saw that, I said, you know, is it possible that I'm on the wrong side of history here when it comes to thinking that it's not been good enough? It definitely did force me to sort of address those. But I think, yes, I'm still on the right side of history. When you're the most well-funded program in the conference by a long shot, and you've never even played for a conference champ, like, it's hard for me to square those things, right? Like, how can he be the 16th best against expectations in the country, yet he's never even played for a conference championship? You know, like, I just feel like that's...
Well, and you're coming off of a year, and I think this is critical, where it was all supposed to come together.
Right.
Seth Hennigan's final year, you've gone out of your way to keep him. You're picked first in the conference. It's what we hold. Penny gets picked first. We say finish first. Ryan finishes essentially fourth. You can call it a tie for third. Navy beats you. You finish fourth. And you're telling me coming off a year, that year... Yes, got to 11 wins, won the Frisco Bowl. You're telling me because of that, you're moving him to top 16, a guy who was picked first, finished fourth?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
No,
so, again, this is a case of numbers, and it's not new to us. When Ryan Silverfield will tell you, guys, we've won 21 games. I mean, fans of Ryan Silverfield will tell you that. And yes, the 21 looks important. You know, it stands up with a lot of other programs. If you compare it over the last 2 years to power programs, but what's in those 21, I would ask you. And that has to be part of the conversation. Again, if Ryan Silverfield were doing such a great job, he would be in high demand. That's what happens with Memphis coaches. That's not happening here.
Yeah.
Everybody's fine with Ryan. Other schools and programs are fine with Ryan being at Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's another part of it, that it's kind of hard to, like, quantify in a way, but, like, if he was truly the 16th best coach in America, that he would not still be at Memphis. I mean, I know that is weird to say, but it is true. I mean, Justin Fuente got hired away. Mike Norvell got hired away. And all of a sudden now Memphis is a job where you stop climbing the ladder. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
– and I don't – you know, it's not great. On a day like today where you come in and you just took a couple blows yesterday with the, you know, the conference news, we're waiting on Grizzlies to do the least. Yeah, it ain't cool to come in here and use an opening segment to tear down Ryan Silverfield, but the idea that he's being presented as one of the nation's best coaches in any metric is ridiculous. So you have to tell the truth. And the truth is, here in Memphis, we know it's not nearly that rosy. Right. On a day, we'd love to be hanging on to this.
Oh, that's true. I mean,
let's be real. We'd love to tell, and we'd love to tell the Big 12, hey, you're turning out a great football coach here that's going to take us to the top.
This article was out.
A matter of fact, college football playoff, we're going to make it. Ryan Silverfield's going to take us there. We'd love to be saying that today, right? You're missing out here.
Right.
We can't do that because we know
we have to be honest.
Up short there. We have to be honest. We always have.
Yeah.
Even when it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, I didn't come in here intending to tear him down, but when you throw a metric in my face that says he's a top 15, top 16 coach in the country, I got to say, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. The news today made you a little nervous about the Grizzlies' lease, which is the news today, by the way. Let me just back that up. The news today was there was this deadline that I think was sort of self-imposed by Paul Young. Maybe it was just hopeful. Maybe it was just optimism, whatever. But that a deal would get done with the new lease by the end of summer. Of course, they're here till 2029.
Right.
But they're trying to lock in another lease, for 20 to 25 years to obviously ensure the future. And the news today from Sam Hardiman at the Daily Memphian was that that lease will not get done by the end of summer as hoped.
Yeah, I mean it is absolutely concerning. I mean that's the way you ask it, it would be no cap that it is concerning. I would leave it at that. I wouldn't put us in sort of, oh, let's be worried here. Let's put our hands in the air, because again, Robert Parrish had chances to leave before. They've rewritten the lease and changed the wording on it as a result. Now, that wasn't a new lease.
Right.
But it helped you in terms of attendance and everything else. You weren't meeting some of those things.
That's right.
And they got you through that. And yes, while, you know, you can spin this a couple ways. Yes, while we're hopeful it got done by the end of the summer, if you look, what's the end of the summer seasonally? Is that September?
I think it's like, yeah,
is
September
all,
the 1st.
Typically we think of it as September, whatever it is. We'd hoped it was all done and locked up in a bottle. I'd say this too. Maybe while we say financially the city's done everything it can do, the state has done everything it can do, maybe in terms of that area around it, because you saw where Paul Young focused in the story. You know, hey, us and the Grizzlies are all together about having downtown as our front porch. We got to beautify it. We got to make it safe and everything else. Maybe, you know, the Grizzlies holding you to whatever standard. See, we are at a disadvantage because we don't know exactly what they want. But I think Paul Young speaking it, and Sam Hardiman says it, job well done in the reporting. They've long wanted a safer, better looking 2000 updated downtown. The Grizzlies have. It's what every other NBA team's got. Most of them have got control of the area around them. The Grizzlies don't. And so they have to ask the city for that. What'd you just have? A shooting not too long ago right outside of Hooters? They want safety down there. They want folks to feel that way when they come in from whether it's Mississippi, Arkansas, and everything else. And so until, you know, them holding the city to that standard, whatever it is, more money. It's in the end, it's a good thing for Memphis so long as they stay. So long as these, what they're holding us to makes us a better downtown, keeps the Grizzlies here. It's all to the good, guys.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they are paying the operating costs in the end. It's part of the reason why they have the non-compete. They could be, you know, the city could be paying money, hemorrhaging money right now off the Grizzlies in a way that some other counties and cities might be. And so because they're doing that, man, you don't have a choice here. And because you can't have a downtown without the Memphis Grizzlies. You just can't do it. And that's not to say you know, everything that they say, you know, whatever, they bend you over a barrel, you give them everything, but you damn near got to.
Yeah.
You damn near do, because you don't have, they're holding you to a higher standard downtown. Safety, we need that. We need a beautifying of downtown. We need an updating
of that. Absolutely.
So whatever the city can do to get that done, it has to be done. You want to give them part of Beale? I say do it. You know, I'd ask you again, what good's Beale doing the city?
Oh, yeah.
If the city controlling all of Beale, right?
Yeah.
What good's it doing if nobody wants to go down there?
Yeah.
And the place, it's not nearly the attraction it was. Let you know, if that's what it takes. My point is, you pretty much are backed into a corner because you need them. You need them for them, but you need them for the city.
You're 100% backed into a corner. I think Paul Young understands the importance of the Grizzlies. Yeah. I think everybody involved understands the importance of the Grizzlies and the representation, right? Like what it means to be to have the Grizzlies and what it would mean to lose the Grizzlies for the city of Memphis. I think everybody understands the gravity of that situation. And with the comments from Adam Silver last week about how expansion is not necessarily something that they're looking to do tomorrow, I think, Seattle sort of still exists as that boogeyman, right? That every franchise is going to use that wants a new arena, that wants this, that wants that. They're going to use Seattle and it not having an NBA team at current as the boogeyman, as leverage. And the fact is, the Grizzlies have all of it. Now, I do think they need to state clearly, like, what is it that you want? What can the Grizzlies or what can the city do to get you to sign today? And then the city needs to obviously do that. I don't know that there's that plain and clear cut understanding. But yeah, I mean, when the idea and the hope was that this would get done in late summer and it's not going to get done in late summer, it definitely perks up. Your antennas up. Obviously, it doesn't mean it won't get done, but I really wished it would have. I wish it would have got done so we can put this story to bed. I honestly didn't think it would, you know, because you and I would like joke around. I'd be like, where's that lease? Where's that lease, man? So look, maybe it gets done in October. Maybe it's done in November.
Maybe Paul Young should have kept his mouth closed like the Grizzlies do, and this wouldn't have been held
up. That is very true.
It wouldn't have been this story.
Timelines do not help
anybody.
Paul
tried to be transparent. Right. He put a timeline out there.
Yep.
Maybe he thought it was going through, just like Memphis officials apparently thought they were at least going to get a vote.
Damn.
And got, you know, you're trying to be.
They thought they were going to get
again
the
different. In this case, you're trying to be transparent with the media. Memphis officials. How much did they get done behind behind the scenes?
They did a great job.
My God, Hargrave and Ed Skye were working their tails off.
They did a great job.
Even though they clearly had a misunderstanding,
they did,
of who they had among those presidents and administrators.
That's right.
Who they were misled by.
Yep.
Pretty interesting question there.
Yeah.
Who sold them down that road? We got them. We got them.
Yeah.
And I'd be interested to hear what they'd have to say, but of course it wouldn't be on the record.
Yeah, because you would not like extend that offer.
You're not making the offer.
Not thinking you're getting the vote. You know what I'm saying? Like,
because you also have the ACC here,
right?
And while clearly they had their reasons for shooting it at the Big 12, this offer not at the ACC.
Exactly.
You've got that there to where you don't want this news of this out here. You're not going to make this huge offer to the Big 12. You know you're going to get smacked up. You're going to get embarrassed.
Yeah, because now the
don't
ACC
the
is
offer.
Like. Like, you know, you're kind of looking like
wasn't good enough
the scarlet
for them.
Letter, you know, like
wasn't good enough for them.
The exactly.
We're supposed to take?
Exactly, bro.
So as you said, and you said that at some point, you don't want to make that offer if you know you're going to miss that bad.
Right.
If you're not going to get a vote, you miss bad when you don't even get a vote.
Yeah.
Somebody sold you down the river.
Yeah.
To make this off, you know, and they were way off with.
No question. Feel
a lot like when Tom Bowen and them thought we were going in and. You know, what was that, 2019 or whatever it was?
Yeah, I'm glad that broke third hour because I didn't really want to talk about it for 3 hours yesterday. It was just too. And then the statement. I wouldn't have said a damn thing if I was Memphis. I'd have said no comment. You know, I really would not have said. I just thought, I know you got to say something, but I would have just said no comment.
The worst part, apparently, there was something on the social media that says, we're proud American.
Oh, they post
proud
out
member
BS.
Of the American. No, well, don't do that on a What's day the, that you just acknowledged you were trying. You acknowledged it! You acknowledge you're trying to get out, talking about you're proud. You shouldn't even reach what we put it on now.
What a joke,
just
dude.
Save that one. You're still in the American, whether you put that post out or not.
Exactly.
Now that was,
I mean, what are they going to do? Like, I think you should have just said, we're not posting that today. We'll post it tomorrow.
We'll post it tomorrow.
Yeah. Like, why would you?
You got, bro, you owe them nothing. In fact, they owe you all the money. You don't have to put that out on the day everybody else does to look like you're playing ball when clearly you're trying to get the hell up out of here.
I mean, it's so stupid.
That made it all tougher. It did.
You're going to pay $250 million to leave. And now you're a proud member to be in the league.
Yeah. Crazy times. All right. Jessica Benson's going to join us on the other side. She made it over, right?
She got to the Big Ten.
Yeah.
She didn't know at the time how – I guess she's the reason, though, that the Pac-12 died. She basically killed it when USC and UCLA left for the Big Ten. So she only has herself to thank for that. But she will join us. Maybe she has some life advice for us. I don't know. We'll do that when we get back. Jason and John, I'm trying to find ESPN. Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt, Grind City Media, Grizz Radio Network during the season. Joins us every Tuesday, and she joins us now. Okay, like, you know, as somebody who, you know, caused all this, how should Memphis fans feel today?
Caused all of this.
Oh, there's
You're
no
my university.
Who was first? Texas and Oklahoma, or UCLA and USC? Like, who really started it?
Texas and Oklahoma seems like the answer to
but,
that.
You know, but you guys were not far behind.
we were just trying to save ourselves.
That's all like anybody wants to do.
Everybody's trying to do in this world. It's every school for themselves, and that's why you see Memphis trying to put together a strong offer to make a last-ditch attempt. No, it all feels so gross. Like, we've talked about it on the show before. Like, conference realignment shaped my life, literally, from my dad being the commissioner of the Western Athletic Conference when I was a kid and the original breakup of the WAC into the WAC and the Mountain West. And I know a lot of people weren't paying attention to that because it wasn't the SEC and it wasn't the Big Ten and there wasn't this existential dread around college athletics and for athletic departments to not be a part of eventually what seems to be in the not so distant future of a further separation, I should say, between the haves and the have nots. And you don't want to get left out. So it just stinks. Like, I certainly understand fans' frustrations, feeling complete doom and gloom over the scenario. I will say, you know, I sit here today and look at the Dellinger report from yesterday and the, you know, notion that the Big 12 didn't even vote on Memphis's offer of $200 million and even being willing to have an exit strategy, a lever that the Big 12 could pull if they decided they weren't worth the time and the money. And I would say, like, okay, they said no for now. Like, there's always another conversation to be had, and I know that's not particularly comforting because conversations were had in 2016 and 2021, and now we're here back at it again. But this is a long process, and it does feel as if it's nearing kind of a crescendo point, but you just have to hope that eventually when all is said and done, Memphis has done enough. And that's the thing that I think is so frustrating, because it seems to those of us who cover it closely and those of us who live here and support it, they have done enough. Right? Like, the success is there. The money is there. What else do you want?
Do you, in terms of what's next, and we were sort of talking that out as the news was breaking yesterday, you have to assume, because we haven't been able to ask them the question directly, that Memphis, those, you know, Hargrave, Ed Scott, had their reasoning for picking the Big 12 as opposed to the ACC, because Ed Scott had even said openly, hey, I'm trying to get Memphis to the Big 12 or the ACC. He's talked about those things. There had to be a reason they went Big 12 first. What do you think the next step is? Do you now turn to the ACC and say, hey, here's an adjusted deal, or maybe here's what we can do here? How do you think it goes? How do you play these things out, being the daughter of a former conference commissioner?
You try. You hope. You pray, and maybe there's a connectivity there with the ACC. I think there's the natural peer connectivity. You know, obviously SMU being in the ACC is kind of an anomaly, but you look at your former peers of a Houston, of a Cincinnati, of a UCF, and BYU not having been in the American, but at least kind of feels level-wise the same, and then linking up with the, you know, the longer-tenured members of the Big 12, it always felt like it made the most sense for Memphis. But now, like, who cares what makes sense? You're just trying for something. And perhaps you get down the line and the best case scenario is football in the Pac-12 and basketball in the Big East. And I know that at this point, that's not going to feel comforting, I think, for anyone. But there are options. And as they continue to try to leave this conference that I know they posted, I forget the exact wording of it yesterday, but the Built to Rise, proud member, blah, blah, blah. Like, I really looked at that as a, for now. Obviously, we all laughed about it, but everyone knows the undertones. It's for now. So it just depends what ends up being the best option available of those, you know, be it Big 12, ACC, Pac-12 football, Big East basketball. it's the best option available and who eventually will make the deal with you.
Why do you think the offer wasn't good enough?
I really don't know.
Look, I mean, if you had to speculate, and what do you think really was at the heart of the Big 12 saying that we don't need to let Memphis in or don't want to or whatever?
I also would be curious if, because I know it's easy to run with, and I've done this, so I've been guilty of this, it's got to be the perception of Memphis, right? Like, they still look down upon Memphis. They don't want to let Memphis into the league, but perhaps there's a level to it of they're concerned of bringing Memphis in. Maybe those schools that I just mentioned, maybe they don't want to compete with recruiting against Memphis that sits in the middle of this SEC hotbed and everything that comes with it. I don't know if it's a collaboration of that reasoning, but I think, you know, I always get sucked into the mentality. And listen, like, my first year here in Memphis was 2016. Like, one of my first stories when I moved and was working for Local 24 was, is Memphis going to get into the Big 12? So it feels like this has been a key piece of my journey here. And so it's easy to slip into they don't like Memphis. Well, they think the perception of Memphis is too bad, or the chaos around Memphis, or it's not a good enough institution. And like, all of that has been, you know, completely changed around. I read Jeff's piece earlier in the Daily Memphian, and the idea of what's changed, that was the question posed from some anonymous Big 12 administrator. And well, a lot has changed, and the success is there, and like, the proof in the pudding is there. So that feels like a lame thing to rest on, but perhaps they still are.
Yeah, I think there's a part of it, like, they are waiting. They're trying to wait out the ACC a little bit, right? I would guess that some element of it would be, we're trying to cannibalize, right? When Florida State and Clemson inevitably, right?
Yeah.
We would rather add one of the rejects from that league, you know, in 4 years or however long it is. I mean, I think that's the frustrating part, is that they may be waiting on something that does or doesn't happen. And if it does, it might be 2035 or 2000, you know, I don't know what the date is, but it seems like 2036 or something like that. But I think they would probably say that's why we didn't feel compelled to make a move, because there may be bigger fish out there, you know, in a decade, which in the grand scheme of things is not that far away.
Yes, but feels exceptionally far away.
No question. For Memphis, it might as well be a millennium.
In the moment. Well, and that's, but I think that's the thing that's so scary, is because for a city like Memphis, like, a decade can change everything. You even look at the differences in the momentum and the growth that was happening in 2019, 2020, and then no one predicted that a global pandemic was going to come through and significantly impact all cities in this country, but particularly cities like a Memphis, and kind of set it back a couple steps, right? So when you're talking about a decade, like, it can be life or death for a city, and you want to solidify your place in it far before you get to that 10-year mark.
All right, moving on to Grizzlies and sort of wrapping it all up. Biggest summer league takeaway can be positive or a negative. And we were trying to, you know, sort of pick it out yesterday. Where would you be on summer league takeaways for the Grizzlies? Have we moved there?
Have we moved where?
Well, I guess, has the ball been moved forward? Were people developed? Were players that are going to be part of the rotation, did they get better along those lines? Have we moved in terms of as a franchise? Not to
watching the
Vegas
2-3 Grizzlies summer league team. It was challenging at times. I applaud all of us who were there till the bitter end of that final game against the Clippers on Sunday.
I was there. I loved every minute of it.
I was there. You know what? I was so there that when I was in bed watching television last night and I was turning it from one channel to the next, my previous channel was still ESPNU, and there was a replay of the Grizzlies-Hawks game from Summer League, and I watched 5 seconds of it. So that's how invested
that was an ESPN classic right there.
I think if you want, like, actual tangible important things, one was just seeing Jalen Wells come back from injury, right? And, like, you can wish and dream that he was more dominant in Summer League, but he still did the things that led him to earning a place in the starting lineup last season, which is impacting the game even when his shot is not falling. And you want that to continue, because the assumption is that he will be in the starting lineup for the Memphis Grizzlies come opening night this fall. You get excited about the continued ceiling of GG Jackson. I think there's you know, a lot to still be desired on the consistency of it. We will all go back to that one clip of him with the chase down block followed by the and one finish through contact on the other end and how he runs the floor and his athleticism. And you kind of circle and star that moment of like, oh, this is what he can be. But you still need to see him advance as a defender. And you still have to think of how he fits in a rotation where, you know, he's not the primary scorer as he would be in a summer league situation. And then outside of that, I think the real like thing that I will hold on to is just the 2 second-round picks from this year are, they both gave you enough to be excited about what they could mean for the future, right? Both Javon Small, and I'm glad that he was able to come back from the injury and get those last two games in, and Jemai Mayshak. And while Small was out, Mayshak was probably the most talked about story of summer league. This is the last pick in the draft, and he's out there playing his butt off and calling a summer league game like it's an NBA finals when he was giving that interview. So I think those things are positive, and I know Small is officially on the two-way contract, and we're still waiting to see what ends up happening with Mayshak, and we had the other two-way contract decided by someone who wasn't on the Grizzlies summer league roster. So ultimately, I don't think we're sitting here having like real heavy, these were my solid takeaways from summer league, and I feel more strongly about this than ever, but there were certainly reasons to be encouraged across the board.
So, you know, you posted a TikTok of your abode, and that, you know, people were talking about, you know, the wall that your TV. So just tell me about this wall. You seem very proud of it. It's not the wall. It's not the wall that Donald Trump wants to build or has built, but it certainly feels like that in your home.
I have a wall in our home. To be honest, it's exposed brick, so it's real beautiful. And it kind of is like a, I'm looking at it right now as I sit.
It's a great wall. It's the great wall.
I sit in my 80-degree condo as I wait for somebody to come out and look at our air conditioning unit.
Oh,
so I have
God.
A fan just centered on me. All the blinds are closed. I'm sitting in the dark as I speak to you guys, trying to preserve any amount of air. But the brick wall is beautiful. But honestly, it used to be a like where our television is. It used to go into the place next to us, and it used to be one giant unit. And when it was for sale, they had it either as the giant unit or for the separate units, and we could not afford the giant unit. So we were just hoping someone would take the other side of the wall, and we could take our side of the wall. And now we're conjoined by a small slab of concrete in the middle, but we do get some nice exposed brick. So thanks for noticing.
No, I so you don't, you know, you don't give us a lot of the interior decoration there. So on TikTok,
I don't want anyone to know where I live. You know,
there's
some weirdos out there.
Yeah, there is no question about that. Anyway, Jessica, you're the best, and
thanks, guys.
I'm gonna let you go get your hair fixed.
Yeah, that's happening soon, hopefully, right?
Oh, they're supposed to be here between 12 and 4. Do we want to guess what time they get here?
3:54.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, that's brutal. You didn't get any nibbles last night. I saw you took to Twitter.
You know how desperate I am to put out an SOS on Twitter? I did get a ton of recommendations if anybody needs somebody.
But you didn't need a recommendation. What? You needed somebody to appear. Then.
No, I needed somebody who wasn't going to charge me $500 to make a late night call last night.
But you know what, though? I mean, it might be worth it. You know what I'm saying? Like right now, what's this all because of? Like corn or something? Didn't I see something
corn.
About that?
Corn.
Yeah, like I think the heat waves are because of corn.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, you gotta look it up, man. You gotta know what's going on.
We've got a leak, and I'm just hoping it's the AC and not something else.
Corn sweat.
Corn sweat.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's why there's a heat wave across America this week.
Oh, well, I'm at the point where, like, I didn't even know we were under a severe heat advisory until someone we were talking with last night when this all started going down was like, oh, be sure to be careful. We're in a severe heat advisory. And I was like, it's just hot.
No doubt.
It's just always hot.
July in Memphis. Although my MLGW bill last month was just like, it was beautiful. I was like, I wanted to frame it. It was like a Mona Lisa. It was under $400.
Wow.
I'm like, like, there's this guy on. I'm sorry, I'm going on about this. But there's this guy.
No,
on,
it's okay.
There's this guy on TikTok from Memphis. I don't know if I like it when my TikTok is local. It makes me feel very strange.
It's so local right now.
And there's this guy on TikTok who posted his MLGW bill. Like he was beside himself. He's like, MLGW really got me this month. Look at this bill. And then he pans to the bill, and it's $175. And I put it in the comments. Turn your air on, brother. Like $175? When's the last time you saw an MLGW bill for $175?
Okay, wait. I'm gonna be honest. How big is this place?
Because that's gotta be an apartment or something.
Yeah, I mean, but still, yeah. I mean, bro,
like, we're in a condo, and on a good month, it's like 150 on a great month. Oh, we can get all the way down to like 105. But mine, the last 2 months, have been like 250, which is insane for us.
Are you kidding? $105?
No. Yeah, those are the days. They used to be under 100.
Would you live in a Harry Potter
had
closet?
Under 100 for a long time. Maybe that's the issue with our air conditioning.
That's crazy. Well, good for you,
we've
man.
We've got great space. We've got exposed brick. Come on.
That's right. The wall. The Great Wall of Benson. All right.
Wall.
Enjoy. And I hope they get there in 15 minutes. You're the best.
Thank you. I hope so, too. Bye.
Later. She is Jessica Benson from the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt, Grass City Media. How about that, bro? Here at Hurt MLGW, Bill?
Yeah, I mean, you're in that efficient condo.
Yeah.
One thing going to be low.
Now, how are you doing over there?
Mine was high last month. I turned everything up to 80. It was that high. I
said, oh, my God.
I said, we're not doing this again during the day. It's
that high.
It's 80 up in here, and we will turn it down at night.
Dang.
I gots to go down.
And is it
where I was last
so is it 80 in your house right now?
Yes.
So like when nobody's there, you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, Chris is there.
Oh, damn.
He don't need it. He's just running around with his shirt off. He's fine.
That's right.
He don't need
it
air.
It was that high?
Yes.
It had to be over 500.
I want to see a difference. Now, they tell you set it on 78, didn't they? That's what they tell you. I was already doing that.
I was at 347 last month.
I was higher than that.
Yeah. I always like just expect 350.
I was not over 4 though.
That's pretty good, John.
350 is about what I
sounds
hope
like
to be.
He
at.
Goes over 4.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't really. I try to keep it like at 74. You know, like I don't try to go lower than 74.
Night again. I'm going 72, 70.
Now that's pretty low.
Yeah, gotta have it cool at night, but it's easier to do.
You can't
play like that during this time in a heat advisory.
I mean, I'm expecting July's bill will be $500. That's what I'm expecting.
Yeah, me too.
Just because the AC's having to work so damn hard to keep that temperature.
Stays on.
You know, even 78, I think it'd probably have to work pretty hard.
Your windows probably, both of y'all have the condensation from the air conditioner inside.
My windows all have
sometimes in the
condensation.
Morning.
Yeah. So, anyway, I am the furthest thing from a fan of MLGW, but I got to say the bills this year so far have been very manageable, you know, in terms of what I expect.
That's after a little increase, so.
Yeah,
you should be
exactly.
Happy.
But I'm also hearing that the new Germantown meters are like doubling people's water bill.
No.
Yeah, from like 80 to 160 a month. That's what I'm hearing.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm hearing. So, yeah.
That's right now.
I don't know. Anyway. Thanks to Jessica Benson for joining us on the show. We'll come back. Lots more to come. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN.
Yeah, you need a checking account that makes managing your money easy. And that's exactly what you're going to get at Leaders Credit Union. They offer checking accounts with no monthly fees, no minimum balances, and convenient mobile and online banking. So whether it's earning generous interest with Champion Rewards or enjoying a simple account with Champion Free Checking, they've got you covered. Experience the case and the ease and flexibility of Leaders checking account and discover your financial champion for life. Visit leaderscu.com/ESPN to open yours today. Leaders is your financial champion for life, federally insured by the NCUA. In just a little bit, we're going to be joined in studio in the stew by Cam, who won the 2021 Mr. Beast Squid Games. It was an immensely expensive production. I think it was something like, you know, $134,000 a second it cost to produce. And it was like a, what, 21-minute video?
21 and a half minute. Mr. Beast must have lost a fortune.
Yeah.
He gives away $500,000.
That's right. That's right. Now, are you a Mr. Beast guy?
Yeah, I am because my son is.
Gotcha.
One of the reasons.